John Batchelor with Seth Frantzman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and correspondent for the Jerusalem Post, who's been much in Hamas, in Gaza, and been much on the frontier against Hezbollah in the north these last 6 months. Now, after the Iranian assault, the question was immediately, does Hezbollah salvo? Does Hamas in some fashion gain from this? Is this a coordinated attack? Seth, I want to begin with Hezbollah because they've got the missiles. We're told upwards of 150,000, which would make the salvo against Jerusalem and Tel Aviv in these last hours seem simple, and a version that would fade from the mind before those missiles are incoming. Hezbollah has not moved, as far as I can tell, following the attack last night. Is that purposeful? How to interpret that?
Well, Hezbollah, yes, has 150,000 missiles. It's already fired 3,100 missiles and drones and anti-tank missiles to Israel, causing significant damage and forcing 80,000 people from their homes. So it already joined the war effort in the beginning of the war. So it didn't necessarily need to prove itself on April 13, 14. However, let's remember that Hezbollah did carry out dozens of attacks with rockets and missiles on April 12th and on late at night, I guess, on April 13th. What I'm hearing is that they did join the attack and launched up to 160 rockets and munitions towards the Golan to target, Israeli bases up there. So they did play a role. And I think that we are going to wait and see then what comes next. You know, Israel has telegraphed very clearly it wants the Hezbollah fighters and terrorists and all the threats to be removed from the border up to about 10 miles depths. And the question is then whether or not Hezbollah will do that, or whether it will pretend to do it, or whether some kind of an agreement can be come to in which Hezbollah will stop the attacks. And I think there, again, it's unclear, given the history of how this works, you know, whether or not Hezbollah can be, you know, actually moved away from the border without an actual war. And Israel has threatened that it could go to war with Hezbollah, but, you know, Israel's already involved in Gaza, and people have said, you know, well, Israel has to first defeat Hamas. And so there's a lot of questions about whether or not Israel would do that.
I have read, Seth, that Tehran holds Hezbollah back from its full salvo because that's the punch it wants to throw in the event that Israel attacks Tehran. Is that logic just speculative, or does that stand up for your information?
I think that makes sense. I mean, Hezbollah, you know, once it decides to go to war, I guess it would be a very serious conflict in which, you know, Hezbollah could lose a lot of its capabilities. So it has to choose wisely. Hezbollah is a very important property for Iran. If you think of Iran's, you know, properties like a monopoly board, it's a pretty important one. And therefore, you know, Iran would not want to lose all the investment there, in a kind of jaunt or a forlorn hope. So Iran will have to be very careful about its moves regarding Hezbollah. And yeah, it certainly is a deterrent in a sense for Israel, I guess, you know, doing too much to Iran, because Iran could always operationalize Hezbollah. And that's a possibility as well, but it's kind of holding that knife, you know, in Iran's view, a knife to Israel's throat. I mean, but, you know, Israel, I think, has indicated, you know, it can do to Hezbollah what it did to Hamas. And, you know, Hezbollah doesn't have a lot of options. Once it decides to go to war really seriously, then, you know, it can lose out a lot as well. It's already lost, I think, 250 of its fighters in this last 6 months. And it doesn't have a deep batting order. It can't recruit lots more fighters that easily. So it has to think about the next thing.
To Gaza, to Hamas, the best information we had here on these last days before the Iranian attack was that there was a pullback of the major offensive Israeli forces, a division for R&R. There was a brigade operating inside Gaza. There was no imminent attack on Rafah. The four battalions were told that it remained. However, there was a date mentioned by the prime minister, perhaps date certain, perhaps date speculative, for the Rafah operation. At the same time, we're told that there have been raids in the Rafah area. There's also combat or in some fashion adversaries in the Khan Yunis area. Can you clarify any of those speculations, Seth?
I think we're in a big waiting game here. It's been 6 months of war in Gaza. Hamas has been reduced greatly, but Hamas is still there, and it's still operating. It still has battalions. It still has some rocket capabilities, not a lot, apparently. It still has, you know, these fighters organized. Whether they're organized in battalions or not, Israel has talked a lot about battalions. My sense is that battalions are kind of a nice word, but I think that it's more complicated than that. I think that what it means is they clearly have an area that is untouched. It has not been destroyed much. They have thousands of guys there. They're organized, but Hamas has also shown incredible flexibility in Gaza. That when Israel goes into a place, Hamas doesn't really try to hold ground. It tries to disperse its forces and kind of disappear. And then Israel has to leave at some. Well, Israel's tactic so far has been to go in and then leave. So Israel leaves, and then the Hamas guys come back. Maybe they lose out on their tunnels. They lose rocket launchers and RPGs and stuff. But you know, the people are still there. So, you know, the question now is: I think Israel's tactics in Gaza are the army does not want to hold ground. It wants to clear and not hold. The army does not want to leave the soldiers to become, let's say, you know, sitting ducks or whatever for Hamas to take pot shots at them. And the army has just decided that's not effective. Now, wars are generally not won by just going in and destroying things and leaving. So I don't think in the history of warfare you'll find an example where that actually leads to the victory. So it may be a way sometimes to go in and destroy things and then move your forces around, but you have to eventually go in and defeat the enemy and take the ground. And so far, Israel has preferred not that. So it's lots of little tactical wins, but there's going to have to be, you know, a final act to this war, unless the goal is just to have this be another operation of mowing the grass. And considering the fact that Hamas killed 1,000 people, the most number of Jews killed at any one time since the Holocaust, I would assume the public in Israel will not want to accept that, especially since the public was told that the goal of the war was to defeat Hamas and bring the hostages home, and the hostages are there and Hamas is not defeated. So I think the government would have to show and do something. The defense establishment has to decide how they want to win, and there is no political solution to Gaza as yet in which another group can be brought in to replace Hamas, which leaves the sad prospect of leaving Hamas in charge and kind of rewarding it, which is not good either. So there are a lot of bad options here. And there's a lot of question about whether Israel is willing to go the distance in terms of deciding what to do next and take over the place or replace Hamas with something else or defeat it in detail in Rafah and a few other places where it's still there. What Israel is currently doing is just a few small raids there.
Seth Frantzman for the Jerusalem Post and also for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.